Dear fellow Christians, expectantly waiting for our Savior Jesus, grace and peace to you in his saving name. In Washington, D.C., on Capitol Hill, in the Library of Congress, on one of the walls, is an inscription that was originally written by Alfred Lord Tennyson. And this is what that inscription says. One God, one law, one element, and one far-off divine event toward which the whole creation moves. What is this one divine, far-off event toward which all creation moves that Tennyson is talking about in that inscription? Well, you and I know it as Judgment Day, the last day of this world. Why would that inscription be written in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C.? It's a reminder to us individually, but it's also a reminder to our legislators, those who make our laws and run our nation, that the decisions that they make are not just decisions that are temporary for today, but have long-lasting effects on the people, and in fact, may even have effects on people that might last an eternity. In other words, there is a day of reckoning coming, and we are all answerable to a God who is much greater and much holier than we will ever be. Today we're going to talk about this far-off divine event that Tennyson writes about, if in fact it really is a far-off event. We don't have any idea, right? It might be a lot closer than any of us presume. The Apostle Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, is encouraging all of us to remember the day of the Lord, to keep it in our minds constantly as we live in this failing, faltering world. There are a lot of people who don't want to talk about or listen about the last day. I think it might be kind of scary, maybe seem kind of morbid, but it's interesting when you read the scriptures how often the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul address the topic of the last day, of Judgment Day. It's written about a lot. And that's because God wants to keep it in front of our minds. You know, for some people, it seems like doomsday when you talk about the last day. But for Christians, for people who are followers of Jesus, it's the day when his ultimate promises are going to be fulfilled for this world. And so Paul says, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. In other words, the last day is going to come, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. A thief doesn't give us a call on the phone and say, I'm going to show up at your house tomorrow night at midnight to remove all your valuables from you. And the Lord does not broadcast what day it is, what time it is that he's going to return. Oh, he gives us signs, that's for sure. The Bible talks about a lot of signs of the last day of this world. There are wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes and, yes, pandemics. All of those things are reminders that we are living in a very shaky world that has foundations that might seem pretty solid to us weak human beings for the time being, but one day is going to turn to jello and be destroyed altogether. But while this seems like it's the things that are going to last forever, we know that it will not. Any time, actually, since the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, which Jesus prophesied was going to happen, this world could have come to a screeching halt. It could happen before the end of this service tonight. It could happen 1,000 years from now. We don't know, but the point is, God wants us to be prepared. So why is Paul talking about the last day to us? Is because we don't really think about the last day very often. We have one Sunday at church here that we address this, but really it's something that we should be thinking about in our minds all the time. Very nonchalantly, we often think that things are going to continue to go on in this world just as they always have. But we've just had a very painful reminder and are in the midst of it right now, that things can change in a moment. The way our habits are, the way our days go, things can be very different in a very short period of time. While people are saying peace and safety, Paul writes, destruction will come on them suddenly, and then it will be too late. And without faith in Jesus Christ, which is the very thing that gives us the forgiveness of our sins, which we need more than anything in life, without faith in Christ, that last day, we would have to face without hope and without any kind of safety at all. We would be doomed. But you see, God doesn't want that to happen. He loves you too much. And so he is continually reminding us that day is coming, and be prepared. It might seem unexpected and it's going to come quickly, but you have a way to be prepared for it. You, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Paul says, you're not in the dark. You've been enlightened. You have the Word of God that tells you about Jesus and about your forgiveness and about the gift of a life that will never end. And so you have the information that you need to face the things that come up. He says, let us not be like others, but let us be alert and self-controlled. In other words, he's saying, you know Jesus, and you know that he's going to return someday. So let's not fall asleep at the spiritual wheel here and all of a sudden go down the embankment into the abyss where there is no hope, where there is no future. Some while ago, I read about a break-in that took place in a factory out in New York. It was a factory that made safety glass, bulletproof glass. And it was burglarized. And you know how the burglar got in? He broke the glass on the front door of the business. It never occurred to the business owner to put his safety glass into his own front door. I guess that's kind of like us. We're going, well, duh, why didn't he do that? But don't you think that Satan often is saying that about us? How did you not know that I was going to be tempting you? How did you not know that I was going to use all my trickery to try to overwhelm you and cause you to fall away or sin and try to make you fall away from God? For example, Peter writes, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. So we know that the devil is constantly hunting us like prey. We know the tactics that he uses. He uses lies and half-truths, just as he did for Adam and Eve in the garden. He uses stealth to try to get to us. And yet, how often in our lives aren't we going to ourselves, duh, I didn't have to do that. I had all the warning that I needed, and yet I walked right into it anyway. So where do we find the strength? Where do we get the power to stand firm and, as Paul says here, to resist Satan and his temptations? Do you remember what Jesus used when the devil came to tempt him in the wilderness? Yeah, you remember the tool. It was the Word of God, right? Every time the devil took out his bag of tricks to try to tempt Jesus to sin against the Lord, Jesus took out his weaponry and he used it to beat down the devil every time. It was the sword of the Spirit. It was the wonderful Word of God with which we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. There was a Detroit taxi driver who was asked to give a 15-minute presentation on the news about safe driving because this taxi driver had driven 1,000,000 miles without having an accident. And the taxi driver said, "I don't need 15 minutes. This is how I drive. I drive assuming that every other person on the road is blind." That's called defensive driving. And I think also in our lives we can remember that there is such a thing as defensive living. Oh, I don't mean we need to go into our little forts, but we do need to remember every day that the devil is seeking to attack us. Just think if every day we would wake up and say, "Is this the day that the Lord is going to return to this world?" Can we do that? Can we say, "Maybe this is the day that I will see Jesus face to face"? If we did that every morning when we got up, we would be more aware of the attacks against us, and we would be more aware of the fact that Jesus is by our side, giving us the strength that we need through word and sacrament to withstand those attacks. This is what Martin Luther once said. "Even if I knew that the world would end tomorrow, I would nevertheless plant an apple tree today. Let us live as though Christ were crucified yesterday, risen today, and coming again tomorrow." And to that, all I can say is, well said, Dr. Luther. Very well said. Amen. Please remain seated. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll continue now with hymn 449.